Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
So, you know, welcome back, everybody. I love talking to veterinary students. They are so much fun, and wait till you meet and chat with my next guest here. Legend Thurman is a third-year veterinary candidate of the Royal Veterinary College in London, England. Welcome, Legend.
Thank you, Dr. Christman. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, let me just read your bio to the listeners, because this is just fantastic. We have so much to talk about in such a little time. So, she's in London, England, Catholic University of America graduate, originally from Washington, Pennsylvania, in Washington, D.C. Legend aspires to be a full-time governmental veterinarian after graduation, advocating for change in veterinary medicine and legislation, public policy, and advocacy. Over the past 3 years, she has served as the junior and senior delegate for RBC on National SAVMA's House of Delegates, National SAVMA's Governmental Affairs Committee Chair, and now advisor, and is currently the RBC SAVMA Chapter President. I love this. During this time, she formed a COVID-19 hardship grant for students and helped write new legislation alongside other students for the National SAVMA bylaws to alter membership guidelines for student chapters who have been affected by various disasters. Currently, she is focusing on advancing exposure to students on issues such as well-being, diversity, inclusion, and equity, organized medicine, One Health, and relationships in the field, along with a charity drive for the veterinary school in Afghanistan. Legend's roots align with that of servant leadership from her Catholic faith that has helped shape and who she is today, along with her life's motto, God, family, and veterinary medicine. Oh my goodness, Legend. And you're just getting started.
Yeah, you can say that.
So this is fantastic. So, well, first and foremost, so you're one of those veterinary students that has left, is an international veterinary student. So tell our listeners what that experience has been like for you.
It definitely has been one of change, growth, and definitely perspective, because I'll be 100% honest with you. I was that average undergraduate student who was like, okay, going to apply to veterinary school. Here's all the stuff in front of me, all the applications, all the typical schools, at least in my geographical region. Then one day I'm like, oh, the Royal Veterinary College. Well, this has royal in the name. This probably is not going to happen, but you know what? Let's just add it to the pile. And here I am 3 years later sitting over here in London, which was honestly a great surprise, but a great honor. The big thing that I think that any student goes through whenever they move overseas or down to the islands, for example, there's veterinary schools down there, or even Canada, is that of definitely growing in your independence, but then also becoming aware that you are in a different country, different cultures, even though thank God I'm in England where they still speak English or I'd be in trouble. But also learning a different educational system. That probably was one of the hardships I went through, but it definitely has been rewarding, because I will say over here, they definitely have a holistic approach to the field. We do small, large, exotic, and everything like that. And we also undergo work placements, research, and kind of the whole package deal. So definitely something to be aware of. But the hardest thing, I think, is actually moving yourself, living, and getting adjusted to the new way of life compared to either being in your home or at least a couple hours from your home, if that was your case when you went to college.
Yeah, and then cut to pandemic. And that must have changed everything for you too, in terms of like, are you able to see your family? Because I know in England there's lockdown. So what is that like?
Well, we're currently, at least at this point in time when we're talking, we're in lockdown number 3. We don't know when it's going to end. But again, the whole world is in the same state at the moment. And we're taking these precautions for a good thing. In terms of family, the flights can still get out. And I was able to see my family in Pennsylvania, for example, over the holidays, but my family in DC, I have not been able to. But let me tell you, it requires testing, 5 million documents beyond your imagination, everything like that. So it is a challenge. And I will say, with us being in lockdown over here, even though third year like me, I've had some time to adapt since first getting here, which is great. But I think all students, no matter where they are, either across an ocean or even at their vet school away from their families, I think they're all struggling with loneliness and adapting to this new way of life we've had to undergo. But it hasn't been bad. There's good days and bad days.
Yeah. No, it's good that you share that. I mean, I know from being in vet school, like, you really do rely on your classmates too. So I know you have a great crew that's with you over there at Royal Veterinary College. And, you know, So you're in you're a senior delegate for RBC on National Establishment's House of Delegates. So tell us a little bit about that. What's that like?
Well, I was actually. I just came out of it at the end of last year before I transitioned to president. But basically, every veterinary school has two delegates that represent them on National SABMA on the House, a junior and senior. Basically, you can correlate it to that like the House of Representatives in the United States. So like you have two representatives from each state who go. They basically are there to represent their school, represent the whole of the veterinary profession on the student level, at least, have everyone's voices be heard. Discuss old business and new business that relates to any facet of the field you can think of, from government to well-being to diversity to leadership to education. You name it, it's there. We've talked about it. And then within the House, and same thing, like again, on the U.S. government system, we're split into different committees. So while I was there, I was on the Government Affairs Committee. You can see a trend going here. But point being, we all have that duty, and it's a two-year term. So while we're there, lots of discussion, a lot of work being done, but it's basically a huge collaborative effort between all these veterinary students across the world.
Fantastic, fantastic. And so has that increased your passion for veterinary government?
Absolutely. I will tell you, like, coming into veterinary school, I think most students at least are given the basics, like, okay, there's small animal clinics, there's farms, there's zoos, kind of the ones you see in the public eye. But veterinarians are found everywhere, which you and I both know that. And once I got involved with SABMA and then got on this committee and was chairing it, my eyes were open to a whole new world. And honestly, I am in love with this sector of the profession so much because, again, we're not only limited to just a clinic approach. Our voices can be heard. We can make a change, which is at least something I personally want to do in the long run.
What changes do you think need to happen in the veterinary profession?
Oh, boy. Well, definitely, I think looking at within the past 2 years, again, I think there is now this new eye approach to that of mental health and well-being of no matter where you are within the profession, whether it's your pre-vet days, your vet student days, you've just gone into practice, or you've been in practice for 25, 30, 50 years. I think it affects everyone. Also, the recent political events and the state of the world that we've been in, a lot of the challenges with diversity, and again, being able to be in a workplace that combats everyone, their cultures, their perspectives, and truly having this unified movement and collaboration to work towards making this profession a better place. I mean, the AVMA's quote, which you see and it's labeled on everything, is our passion, our profession. And I believe that all these things need to encompass that coming from all different people. So those are just a taste of them. I mean, if you look at half the things that they're discussing, for example, in Congress that come from the AVMA, it ranges from everything on a clinical perspective to that of a personal perspective. So I think the list is endless.
Yeah, I know it is endless, but it's having individuals such as yourself that have that interest and passion to move the needle for our profession. So it's fantastic. So to our listeners, tell us a little bit about organized medicine. Both you and I are in it. I'm on the board for the New Jersey Veterinary Medical Association. You're doing so many different things. What does that look like from a veterinary student's perspective?
It honestly is one that you need to become accustomed to, because I think so many people think that organized leadership just in general is usually at kind of the general government level, what we know from growing up. Or like, for example, when you went to college or wherever you are now, that's like your student government system. Anyone who's on the board of administration, I think that's where their perspective lies. But then for us, we are then introduced to, again, all these different communities that we can become involved in. You sit on your board, I'm involved in SABMA and everything like that. And what that entails is basically all of us having discussions, because the basic definition of politics, if anyone thinks that's thrown into organized leadership, is actually just discussions. So inserting yourself in some area where you are passionate about, for me, it's SABMA and government and everything like that, but where your voice can be heard and your opinions can at least be put forth to make changes or at least have these candid conversations. That to me is what organized leadership / organized medicine is as well.
Thank you for sharing that, because to our listeners that are, and veterinarians and vet students that are listening, get involved in, you know, your local government, whether it be your student bodies or your state legislature or whatever it is that where you live, because it really, I have found personally that it has reinvigorated my career. It gives me a different perspective on things too. And you are able to become that change agent, which is nice. So I really love that you're doing that. That's fantastic. So the big question for you, Legend, is where do we see the future Dr. Legend Thurman in a few years? Where do we think where are we going to end up?
Oh my. Well, the big question I get all the time, are you staying over there? Are you coming back? And
yes.
The 100% truth is I don't know. I will tell you this. My heart is in Washington, D.C. It always has been. And there's no surprise there because there's government work there as well. But I will need to see again what the job market's like and everything like that. But the true lifelong calling is, if it's in the bio, like you write, I do want to advocate for change. I do want to be a governmental vet, not lose my clinical skills, but again, the priority is going to be there. Some doors I've recently opened, I have recently become a member of the Pennsylvania Veterinary Medical Association and the Washington DC Veterinary Medical Association. So I'm going to start getting involved on a lot of decisions and discussions that they have at their quarter meetings. I'm still involved with SAVMA, going to all of their meetings as well. This past year, I attended the SAVMA Chapter Summit, and then this last month was at the AVMA Veterinary Leadership Conference, where I at least got to sit in as a guest on the board of directors meetings and listen to their legislative efforts going forward. So I'm trying to keep as many doors open. The dream job is to be employed by the AVMA in the long run. And there are a couple people up there, I love their jobs, but I don't want them to be kicked out of them either.
Right. Yes. In due time. I mean, that's exactly what you should be doing, is doing the whole networking, building relationships, you know, getting the experience, and who knows what life throws at you, which is, you know, exciting with this profession. There's so many different avenues to explore. So that's great. Hey, our listeners, fun fact about Legend, by the way, everyone, is that she's helping with the COVID-19 vaccine initiative. So tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So over in the United Kingdom, I'm sure you know, there is this, there's basically the one medicine approach where everyone has free healthcare and everything like that, which is great. And the way they're running their vaccination program is they basically, not really mandated, but put forward that anyone who is at the educational level or who has had experience giving vaccines needs to put in their paperwork. And then we all get put in this big bowl, basically. But just like the rest of the world, with needing so many vaccines in so many areas at one time, they have ended up pooling medical, veterinary, dental, pharmaceutical students from all across the globe to start vaccinating people. And I put my paperwork in and I actually was pulled. But honestly, this is great because this is my way of at least giving back to this whole initiative to combat this deadly virus and hopefully end this pandemic within time so we all can get back to being around each other, being with our families and everything like that. But let me tell you, this is one thing I never expected to be doing in my career as a veterinary student, is vaccinating humans.
Right. Yeah. Who would have thought that? It's incredible. So, but that brings us to like the One Health initiative, like you were talking about. And I know you're very passionate about that too. So, you know, One Health is that crossover where the appreciation between, you know, people, the planet, and animals, and you're doing it. That's exactly a great example of what you're doing.
Yes, it is. And honestly, it's awesome. It's a great feeling.
And at the same time, I will share with you. So last week I got my COVID-19 vaccine, and it was one of the most incredible processes that I have ever witnessed in my lifetime, to see something where, you know, how are we going to make this work? How are we going to vaccinate millions of people? And, you know, just the way I thought I was going to spend the whole day there. I mean, honestly, Legend, from start to finish, I probably was there probably 30 minutes, you know, and it was so well done with having the National Guard that was there. It feels a little scary, of course, that you see everybody there, but you know, everyone's remaining physically distant. You have your QR mm-hmm. code, you go into one room, then they tell you exactly where you're going to get your vaccine. And then you go into a holding room to make sure no adverse vaccine reactions, and they check you and off you go. And I mean, this is like what you're doing and talking about organized medicine. I mean, this is, it all wraps into our everyday to day activities that we do in life.
No, absolutely. And it's funny, the system you just described for over in the States, that almost is exactly the same system we have here. You get the card, there's a QR code, and then you move through the various rooms based on what you do, from pre-vital check to vaccine to then holding area, and then out you go. Right. So,
yeah, it's amazing. And then within that week, the nurse said, she's like, just be on the lookout. On Friday, you're going to get a reminder for the vaccine, at least for when recording this, we have the two vaccine series. So I had to come back. But sure enough, you know, Friday, here's a registration link to go ahead and book your appointment for your second and final vaccine for COVID-19. So I just thought, understanding from an organized medicine perspective, from what you and I do, just looking at process, was spectacular. It really was. Absolutely. So, right? It really was. Mm-hmm. Considering like how tragic of this as this is, trying to find the silver lining where we're trying to move forward and trying to get some normalcy. This is how we do it. And with this One Health initiative, veterinarians are really coming together to help the human doctors out, which is fantastic. So it really is something to see. It really is.
At least my personal saving grace from all this, like you just said, is not, I think two things, the whole One Health approach. Like, I know everyone has their bad days, but at the end of the day, we're all coming together for this. And that initiative, along with having your own support network, is the one thing, at least for me, that has been my true saving grace throughout this whole thing.
Yes. Thank you for saying that too. It's nice to what I call find your tribe. And once you find your tribe, you stay with them because they're going to help elevate you, or they keep it real about stuff like, yes, you should do this. No, you should not do this. But you know, yeah, you need to lean on each other more so now than ever during these times, especially you going through vet school and you're virtual. It makes it tough, I'm sure.
Absolutely. This is for, I think, any of the vet schools out there, because they all have different programs. Some are hybrid, some are fully online and everything else. It is not easy. Right. It is very challenging. But I think, again, all of the veterinary schools are trying to listen to us, trying to make it an easy process. And I think students are figuring out, like, again, like you just said, find your tribe. I'll be 100% honest with you. I have a couple people here, a couple people in DC, and a couple people in Wisconsin who I consider my close tribe, who support me, at least keep me sane on a daily basis.
Yes. Yes. That's good. I'm so glad. So where can we find more information about you?
Oh gosh. Well, my business profile, like everyone else, is on LinkedIn, and it's just this, you call it Legend Thurman. I'm on Facebook, funny quote about that. I'm listed as Alexandra Thurman because Facebook doesn't think Legend's a legal first name. Don't ask me why.
Oh my God. I had no idea.
It's don't such a call great me name. Alexandra. And then finally, yeah. This new platform that seemed to come out, which I'm really excited about, is called The Clubhouse, where a bunch of professionals can come in and have conversations with one another. So I'm on there as well.
I'm writing that down because that's my first time I'm hearing this. Wait, tell me about The Clubhouse. Tell me about it.
It actually was something a colleague of yours and mine told me about. Thank you, Walter Brown. Huge shout out to you. Of course.
That's
yes.
Right. That should answer the now question. I heard it.
Yes, but for everyone else, the Clubhouse is basically this new social media platform that almost acts like a podcast, except several people. So rooms are booked and you can have conversations about anything you want to, from personal to professional to company, anything you want. And you get in by invite only. Now, again, it is not that high league that it's going to like filter out people. More so people are already in there, get invites, and then they send them out and we start spreading the web in the chain. And then you can connect with people of like profession, things you enjoy, things you're passionate about, and then have conversations. So another way to bring people together in a different platform.
Oh, I love that. Oh, shout out to The Clubhouse. That's fantastic. I gotta see if I can get invited in. Gotta get in.
I think I have a couple invitations. I'll send you one.
Yeah. No, thank you so much. Thank you. Well, Legend, thank you so much for joining us today.
Anytime.
And we wish you all much success and happiness on your journey at veterinary medicine. I'm happy to support you and guide you. We're going to watch your journey. We're very proud of everything that you're doing. Keep doing you. Keep shining. We're so proud of you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys as well.
My pleasure. And everyone, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for tuning into the Vet Blast podcast. Remember, always stay safe out there. Take care of your fur babies. Stay pawsome. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.